I'm going to read the text I have this morning is from 1 John. If you've got your Bibles there, let's turn to it, and I'm going to read it. In the beginning was the Word. Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And this is the key verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I was in a meeting years ago. I went to a Timothy encounter, it was called. There were a bunch of men gathered in a camp, and it was a speaker, Charles Simpson was his name, and he spoke to us all week about how Jesus, a man like any other, needed to be in touch with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and walk in obedience every day. And Charles Simpson said, the problem with spiritual revelation is that the flesh has to do it. He's not talking about flesh like the carnal nature, but we have this idea, this revelation, this spiritual knowledge, but it really doesn't mean anything until you actually do something about it. Well, Jesus, the Word, did something about it. He became flesh. He became a man and walked among us. So when the Lord reveals the truth to us, we have to say, yes, I believe that, and I really mean that. I know that the Lord has something for us in here. I know He has something in this, and I've been trying to tease it out for a week. But I'm just going to read this again. When the Lord reveals the truth to us, we say, yes, I believe that. It really doesn't mean anything until we demonstrate some kind of action that we do, in fact, believe it to be true. So Jesus, who was the Word of God, Jesus, who was the essence of God, Jesus, who is the creative force of God, it says here, all things came into being by Him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that exists. Nothing came into being that exists without him. So he's the creative force of God. He is God. Nothing came into being apart from him. Jesus, who is the Word, Jesus, who is life, Jesus, who is light, Jesus, who knows all things, he knew that in order to restore his creation, he must empty himself of all that God part of him and become a man, fully human. And not just be human, but dwell with us. Philippians 2, 6, 7, and 8. Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. His very nature was God. So he came and he walked a sinless life. He proved that human beings can walk every day in touch with God. He proved that a human being can get in touch with the Spirit of the living God, know what the Father is doing, and follow him. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So he lived every day of his life struggling to get in touch with God, because he had left that whole part of his being. He was a man. It says, in the days of Jesus' life, we'll read again in Hebrews. I love this. I like to read this every time we have communion together. This just makes so much sense to me. Hebrews 5, 7, 8, 9. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. He knew his identity, and yet he didn't presume or rest on it, but rather chose to come to all the Father desired for him. Think of it, this Word of God, this Creator of all things, becoming a baby, learning to walk, learning to talk, struggling through the awkward teenage years, always. Every day, every moment of his life, choosing to follow God. He did it all for what reason? He did it for us. He did it so that he could carry all the sin of mankind to the cross and permanently destroy it, get rid of it forever. We sing this song, Is He Worthy? And the chorus goes out of Revelation 5, says, Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is there anyone who has lived a whole human life? Is there anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He's David's root and the Lamb of God to ransom the slave. He's worthy to open the scroll. He's able to break the seal and open the scroll because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because the Word who became flesh bore all our sins, suffered and died and rose again. I've been thinking about the expression that we say it doesn't matter. What do we mean when we say it doesn't matter? It's of no account. It doesn't actually... It doesn't carry any weight. Or we say, what's... Or we talk to somebody and we say, what's the matter? But Jesus matters. He became matter for us. He limited himself to a form of a man. Matter. He matters. And he has given us I wrote, to demonstrate that we matter, us dusty little flesh and blood people, we matter so much that the Word, the one by through whom all matter was created, became one of us, became flesh, became matter to redeem all creation. It's incredible. It's incredible. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. We're going to take a little bit of matter into our bodies. A little piece of bread and a little bit of juice. Does it matter? It matters. And we'll be declaring together that we believe that the Word of God, Jesus, became flesh and He dwelt among us. And we gratefully welcome Him into us. We welcome the finished work of the cross into us. We're living in strange times. We're living in times where many are saying, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. I can do anything I want. It doesn't matter that I was born a man and I feel like I'm a woman. So that's what I am. The minds of so many are being influenced not by the Creator, but by the enemy of our souls, the enemy of our body, our mind, and our spirit. And they're saying, God made a mistake. You can change your body into something else. In these days, brothers and sisters, we need to show the world what God wants us to do with our bodies. And that we're going to find in Romans 12. So let's all turn to Romans 12. So this is our response. This is our reasonable worship. I urge you therefore, brethren, brothers, sisters, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and which is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every man and woman among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. It matters. It matters how we behave with one another. Since we have gifts according to the grace given to us, let us exercise them accordingly. Let's do things that matter. If prophecy according to the proportion of faith, if service in the serving, if teaching in teaching, and those who exhort in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevere in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. You see, your enemy is hungry? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I read what Oswald Chambers had to say this morning for June 11th, so I'm going to just read that here. As we come to the communion table, where the sin and the sorrow cease, and the song and the saint commence, come unto me. Do I want to get there? I can now. Questions that matter in life, got my attention that he happened to use that word. The questions that matter in life are remarkably few. They are all answered by the words, "Come unto me." Not do this or don't do that, but come unto me. If I will come to Jesus, my actual life will be brought into accordance with my real desires. I will actually cease from sin and actually find the song of the Lord begin. Have you ever come to Jesus? Watch the stubbornness of your heart. You will do anything rather than the one simple childlike thing. Come unto me. If you want the actual experience of ceasing from sin, you must come to Jesus. Jesus Christ makes himself the touchstone. Watch how he uses the word come at the most unexpected moments where there is a whisper of the Lord, "Come unto me." And you are drawn immediately. Personal contact with Jesus alters everything. Be stupid enough to come and commit yourself to what he says. It's quite the line. Be stupid enough to come and commit yourself to what he says. The attitude of coming is that we will resolutely let go of everything and deliberately commit all to him. And I will give you rest. I will stay you. Not I will put you to bed and hold your hand and sing you to sleep, but I will get you out of bed, out of the languor and exhaustion, out of the state of being half dead while you are alive. I will imbue you with the spirit of life, and you will stay by the perfection of vital activity. We get pathetic and we talk about suffering the will of God. Where is the majestic vitality and might of the Son of God about that? Come to him.